The scripture passage from Ephesians draws on themes that are found in other letters in the New Testament. From 1 and 2 Corinthians to the book of Romans to Colossians to Philippians, there's a certain theme that runs through all of these letters, most of which we believe were written by Paul or disciples of Paul, people who followed Paul. But there was a recognition of the groups that were forming together that we would eventually call church. There was an understanding that those groups needed something really important. And that was that they needed one another, just like the song said. They needed one another. That there was no one person or group of people that was more important than any other person or group of people. That each person in what was called the body of Christ was necessary, was needed, and was important. Every single person. Now, sometimes in the early church, people would get big heads. That doesn't happen anymore. No. Not anymore. And they would think that they were more important, or their truth was more important than someone else's truth, that their role was more important than someone else's role in the church. I've always said that the person who makes coffee in the kitchen is maybe more important than the person who preaches on Sunday morning. Because God help us if we don't have coffee. Amen? The people who put out the goodies that we are so quick to run to before service is even complete. Those people are as important as the people who lift up the prayers, as the people who lift us up in music. Each one is important. And in the book of Ephesians, and in this passage, the book of Ephesians in particular assumes that all Christians are part of what the apostle would say was the building process. That every single Christian, every single person was important to building up the body of Christ. And that all of the parts needed to work properly together for the body to grow. Let me say that again. All parts need to work properly together for the body to grow. I've got a little issue with some wiring, I think. You know, external wiring. Because you see, when it all does work together, then the church will grow. Now, some people don't want the church to grow because they're really comfortable with things the way they are. Yeah, give me a mic. Let me just turn this off. Woohoo! There we go. I know that there are times when people get really comfortable with the way things are. And I found this piece which I thought was really kind of fun. It says this: some churches have parking problems. Some churches don't. You can always find a place to park. Some churches have kids running around making a lot of noise. And some churches tend to be pretty quiet. Some churches seem to have more expenses than money. Some churches don't need to spend much money because not much is going on. Some churches are growing so fast you don't always know everybody's name. In some churches, everybody's known everybody's name for years.
Some churches enthusiastically and generously support missions, and some churches keep it all at home. Some churches are filled with tithers, and some churches are filled with tippers. Don't you find it interesting that we tip the servers at restaurants 15 to 20%? I'm just saying. Some churches evangelize, some churches fossilize. Some churches are always planning the future, while some churches just live in the past. Some churches seek new ministries and new methods, and some churches just don't seem to want to. It's interesting, isn't it? See, I believe that the church was always meant to grow. Always. Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Didn't say stay at home and feel comfortable, but go into the world and preach the gospel. See, when we come together, it's about all of the gifts working properly together so that we continue to expand, to grow bigger, that we become equipped to serve and to build, to serve one another and to serve folks outside the walls, to build up the church so that we can do more, so that we can be more. Then maybe in our minds, which sometimes think really small, it can be bigger than our thoughts sometimes can imagine. You know, sometimes the larger things in the world are connected in interesting ways. One of the places I have yet to visit, and I want to someday, is that part of California where the redwoods are. Has anybody ever been to the redwoods? Yeah, yeah. Earlier in the spring, when we took the trip to Israel and to Jordan, the reason I really wanted to go to Jordan was to see Petra, and was looking at some of those pictures this week. And what's amazing about the pictures is that the people in the pictures are about this big, it seems. And the rock formations are just soaring. They are huge. And it gives you some sense, in some ways, of the insignificance of each person in the vast, how things work in the world, the vast scheme of things. So small. And yet, isn't it just a little drop in water that can make a difference? You know, each of the little drops. I read somewhere each snowflake is rather fragile and can disappear really quickly. Each little snowflake seems to be so fragile, but when you put them all together, they can stop traffic. And it's the same way with us, I think. Sometimes we see ourselves as incredibly insignificant. The tall redwoods in California, my understanding is that they grow to 300 plus feet tall. That's like a football field. That's how I, imagine things, Huge, tall, 300 360 feet, some of the larger ones. Huge trees. And their root structure is very interesting. Their root structure is not very deep in the ground. Not very deep, and you'd think that there would be a problem with that, wouldn't you? But the interesting thing about the root systems of redwoods is that they grow into one another. You see, it's not just one redwood, but it's a lot of redwoods standing tall together with their root systems intertwined. And when they intertwine, they strengthen and support each other, right? And the same is true of the church. It's that intricate structure underneath everything that makes the whole thing stronger. And sometimes we think we're such an insignificant part. Now, we may even think that our root structure doesn't go very deep. But when it gets intertwined with other folks, it's enough for those redwoods and for the church to grow. And grow large and grow tall. You see, it's about each one of us finding our own particular place. Each of us. No person is so insignificant that we are not important. Whether it's making coffee, whether it's putting your tithe in the plate, whether it's greeting people when they come in the door. You know, sometimes I think that's one of the most important things that happens, you know. Whether it's sometimes being bored to death 4 hours during the week sitting at the front desk. You know, because I know sometimes, God bless, I come down occasionally to say, hey, how you doing? Because they sometimes, you know, the phones sometimes don't ring much. Other days we're really, really busy. But those people are important because they answer the phone and they are the voice of all of us when someone calls. Each person, each role is important. We tend to think that the pastors and the preachers and the teachers and the ministry leaders are more important, but it's the structure underneath. It's the structure underneath that allows for the growth to happen. And I want this church to be a tall redwood. A tall redwood where the structures all intertwine. I am so grateful to Jerry Small and to Bob Pope, who are serving as our co-ministry facilitator, coordinator. I don't even know what we call you all. What do we call you? You've coordinated. We got names for them. And their job is to help other people in ministry. Isn't that great? Yeah. It's not about them. It's about them helping others, for other ministries to grow. Each one of us is important, and each one of us is called to serve and to build. Over these next few months, most especially as I am not sure what my energy level is going to be, it really is about all of us being intertwined, of that root structure being strong, because it isn't all about me. It isn't all about me, but it's about all of us and the intertwining and the rootedness that we have in one another and in the ministry that we have together, so that on those days when I may not be feeling quite up to snuff, I know that there will be people who can step right in, and it's going to be just fine. Amen?
Amen.
Because we are built that way. And if we're not built that way, then if I'm not here, things flounder, and it should not be that way. Hear me clearly. Hear me clearly. It should not be that way. All of us, every single one of us in this room, and those who could not be here today because it was raining or whatever, is important. The prayer partners are important. The coffee makers are important. The VIPs at the desk are important. The people who help count are important. The people who help feed at Beacon House are important. The musicians who help to lead us in worship are important. All of us together. Those who teach Sunday school, who teach children's church, who teach Bible study. All of us are important because it's about all of us intricately woven together that will build the church. That will build the church. Let me end with this prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr, who is a theologian that I usually don't understand. But he wrote this prayer. He wrote a number of prayers, we believe, including the Serenity Prayer, by the way, Reinhold Niebuhr. And would you pray together with me on this? God, you have bound us together in this bundle of life. Give us grace to understand how our lives depend upon the courage, the industry, the honesty, and the integrity of our fellow human beings, that we may be mindful of their needs, grateful for their faithfulness, and faithful in our responsibilities to them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. May we build together something beautiful for the reign of God on earth. Amen and amen.